Blog Talk Radio.
Monday, January 11th, 2021. I just love saying 2021. And this is Foxology. I am Silver Ray Fox, your host. Happy Monday to you. And welcome to this amazing space called Foxology, where everybody, every single somebody has a front row seat. Yes, I see you sitting there with your open ears, ready to catch every empowering word that could impact or change or ignite something wonderful inside you. Yes, that's what happens here. You get information that just may compel a transformation in your life in some way or another. That sounds exciting, doesn't it? Yeah, well, I think so. I think it does. And here's something else that's also exciting. My guest today is the phenomenal Pam Perry. She's a PR superstar, launching the publishing and speaking careers of many who aspire to become recognized authors and speakers. Is that you too today? Well, if it is, you are definitely in the right place at the right time. What time is it? Well, it's time to introduce the award-winning publisher and journalist, PR superstar Pam Perry. Welcome, Pam.
Oh, thank you so much, Silver Foxes. It's so good to be on Foxology. Great way to start the new year. Thank you so much for the introduction. You are always fabulous, and I just love, love, love being on your show. And you've been doing this now for how long? At least
this
year.
Show, this is the 11th year of this show. Can you believe it?
Yes. Yes, I think I said it has to be at least 10 years. So that is so amazing. You've been podcasting out here way before everybody else really got on the bandwagon of podcasting.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? I love it. I was coming from some background in land radio, urban radio, and so I just had to keep it rolling, keep it going, and it's always been exciting. It's something I absolutely love, and I'm just as excited and happy to have you on. You know, a few years ago we had the opportunity to hang out for a day in Houston.
Yes, at Joel Osteen's church. It was so fabulous. Dr. Lorene Wisham. That was the first and last time I went to his church. You know, obviously now everything is virtual because of COVID, but I'm so glad that I had a chance to do that. And we had great seats. It was fabulous. Yes.
Yeah, we did. That's where I always sat anyway, so it was easy for me to grab those seats for us. That was my spot.
But anyway,
it was a fun day for sure, and we had a fabulous brunch afterward. It was a really amazing day, but I'm glad to have you here today in this amazing space that I call Foxology, and to have you to share once again with the audience. You have been doing some incredible things over the years, but before we get to the more recent things, Pam, what I want to do, I thought about the people who really may be aspiring to get into media, various media careers, and I know you had to have a start somewhere, so I think sharing a little bit of your background and when you got the doors open for you, tell us about that. That might help some other people know exactly what kind of education or efforts they need to take to get into the you know, radio and TV.
And I think, thank you, you know, because one of the things that people need to follow their passion. So I've always had a passion to share and to communicate and to really bring people together. So at college, I went to Wayne State University here in Detroit. One of my first things that I wanted to really get involved in was in the communications department. My major was journalism and public relations. So I had to really figure out, did I really like the journalism aspect? Did I like the PR aspect? Did I like the advertising aspect of communications? So at the very beginning, I was trying all of them. My first job, I guess you would say, was in radio. And I was an intern for the public radio station on campus. And they said to me, they said, great, you can come in here and you can do the news. You could write the news in the morning. And I was like, okay, great. Morning to me, not really understanding what that meant. So you've got to be here at 5 because the show starts at 6. I'm like, whoa. And it was a winter time. And so, you know, it's like snow. And I'm like 40 minutes away from the internship. And that would mean, anyway, so the whole point of it is you've got to really have a passion for it. I really didn't have a passion of getting up at 3 in the morning, traveling, trying to get out there, to get there by 5, to write some news copy that basically really was like giving me the newspaper, and then we have to write it in radio format so they can read the headlines. I was like, I am not really into that. So I said, okay, so radio isn't really my thing. Writing radio news copy. I did work for the radio station on campus, and there I found a little bit of difference because I was doing promotion. So that was fun. I really liked doing promotion. And then I got involved in the newspaper at Wayne State University of South Bend, and I was an advertising director. So that was cool because I did promotions as well as advertising. So I said, well, I think advertising and PR might be my niche. And so when I graduated, my first job was really at the Detroit Free Press, and I actually did streaming, and I also did advertising, and I also did promotions for the advertising department. I worked in retail. So those were kind of like my first really getting started. But the bug about PR didn't really get in my head till maybe about, I would say 5 or 6 years later when I said, you know, when people really get a story versus an ad in the newspaper, it really creates more buzz and it really creates more traction for that retailer. So that's when I really started really looking at PR as a career. And then I went on after that. I worked in radio. I worked in TV and always in like a producing kind of like bringing content forward in terms of editorial towards for an audience. So I worked for the Salvation Army as a PR director, and that was in the fundraising department. So it was like a combination of really sales, advertising, and journalism all in one. We would do the newsletters. We would do the radiothons. We would do promotions. We definitely had to pitch the media. We had to write press releases. So I found that at that space with the nonprofit, I just really flourished, and I just really loved the work. I loved the good stories and sharing the good stories and making a difference. And so after really a corporate career for about 10 or 15 years or so, I started my own company, Ministry Marketing Solutions, and that started in 2000. So I was 20 years old last year. And that was where I really decided I wanted to work with Christian authors, Christian ministries, nonprofit, and the African-American segment. And it's been my mission ever since to really help speakers and authors who really want to get out there to get out there in a way professional for them to understand how to master the media, how to really hone their messages, how to do podcasting if they want to do that, how to involve in social media. So it's really everything that I did in corporate, but I'm doing for those authors and speakers that really want to do this as a profession. So that's how I started. I really did it all. I did like radio, TV, and print, but I found that PR allow me to use all of those skills at the same time.
Mm-hmm. That sounds so exciting. I there's something wonderful that I see in all of that I've always just been in awe of people who really grasped their passion out of the gate when they were young, and they just continued on that path and flourished and grew and expanded, and that's you. You know, there's some of them like me, for instance. I kind of zigzagged a little bit. You know,
every zigzag has its place. So every zigzag.
Yeah.
Because I did zigzag for a sit. I mean, when you hit a bump where it's like, I really don't like this, it's good because it shows you what you do like. And I remember when I was in college, just to make money, I had a job at the bank. And I hated the bank. Nothing wrong with banking, but for me, it was so stifling. I just did not like that arena. And I knew that I would never work for anything like a bank or anything that was very similar to it. I liked working at organizations that either had a nonprofit kind of program where they're doing good in the world, or I'm working for a media organization that's sharing messages out to the world. So it was different, very different, you know, getting jobs that you just really hate, and you've got to figure out, like, why is it that I don't really flourish here? And it's because, you know, God is just trying to point you to somewhere else.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think about, and this is just a, you know, just an aside question to those who, you know, we see in the media right now, TV and radio, that everybody doesn't always have the kind of profound background or backdrop like you do for what you're doing. And a lot of people have radio shows now. And they, you know, they're speaking their truth, and they're allowing other people to speak their truth as well. And many of them are becoming very successful at it. So we see in this that means that it's not essential that you have necessarily the professional background or education to get it done. But what would you say to those folks who just want to kind of jump in there and get something started? Certainly there are protocols and criteria, particulars that they should know to jumpstart something like that. What would you say?
Well, I think, they have to hone their skills. And you don't have to be perfect to get started, but you do have to get started. And one of the ways is the quickest way is you can learn by mistakes or mentors. So you can go and do different things and do anything online.
Yes.
And so you can make mistakes and you can learn from those, but they're most very public. Or you can have a mentor. And that's really where my Ready, Set, Go Speak program is really like a mentorship program to help people understand the whole industry of marketing, the whole industry of PR and that sort of thing. So it's one of those things where you can join like an organization, like a Toastmasters to help you with your speaking, or you can join something like when I was in college, I joined the National Association of Black Journalists. I also joined the Public Relations Society of America. I'm also a member of the Black Public Relations Society as well. They call it Beepers. There's a National Association of Black Podcasters where we get together and we share information. But ReadySetGoSpeak.com is an organization that really, the membership that helps people with their branding, their marketing, their PR, their pitching, how to podcast, where to podcast, what to say, how to get guests, how to set up your show. I mean, so I try to take people through pieces so that they understand one thing. And one of the things, Silver Fox, is that you have to understand is that people, there's so much information out there, so you have to pick maybe one person to really listen to move forward. Because if you listen to too many voices, you become confused. So you would, because people are taking you on different roads, and so you feel like a little rabbit, like, am I going to go this way? Am I going to go that way? Am I going to go this way? And so really I try to do in Ready, Set, Go, Speak is really to help people how to start where you are and help you from beginning to end without feeling scattered. Because there's so many, I mean, I probably get an average of maybe 200 or 300 emails a day from different people telling me basically the same thing, but they all have their different way to spin it. And so I always say, you know, pick one person that you listen to that you resonate with. Let them be your mentor, and then let them mentor you and listen to you. I have several mentors, but not several mentors that are in the same area, because each person will have their own way of doing things. And so if you're the one person listening to two different people telling you the same thing, you're going to get confused because you won't know which way to go. So I always tell people, the reason why you're not moving forward is because you're listening to too many voices.
Voices, right. Well, so we know that what we're saying today then is that people can come to you and reach out to you for a cost, of course. You're a professional mentor and consultant.
Right. I mean, the program is really economical because I want to try to help as many people as possible. It's only $127 a month, and they can come through and actually learn at their own pace, and I'm there to answer questions for them as they need it. And but people do have to invest in some work. They have to do the work, and then I can help them along if I see that they're doing the work. I have one person that's in there that she's now going to be speaking on a stage a mega stage, getting her speaker reel together. She did her photo shoot. She's redoing her website. She even changed her email. I mean, it's like if you can take it with Pam, because Pam was tough, she's like, okay, let's get this together, chop, chop. If you can take it, then you can really move forward. If you're a person that thinks like, oh, well, I just need someone to just kind of like tell me I'm doing a great job. Yeah, you are doing a great job, but you do have more that you have to do. And I see more in people than they really realize that they have the potential for. I think everybody can shine, but you have to have certain things in order. So this person, Dr. Cynthia, she is so excited about where she's going now, and she's got so much more potential that she can do in 2021 because she's doing the work. She said she felt like she's in school. She says, I feel like, you know, some nights I'm burning the midnight oil like I was in college. I'm like, when you learn anything new, it's going to be a little bit of a curve until you really become really consistent with it. So, yeah, it is, but it's worth it at the end.
Yes, indeed. Let's talk briefly about the author aspect of what you do. When people, at what stage do you want people to come to you? That they already have a book, they're coordinating a book, they got an idea for a book. When is the best time to reach out to you, or do you guide them through that entire process?
Yeah, the best time to really, you have to build an author platform. So that starts at the very beginning of when the book is just an idea. Because when there's an idea, great. It may take you 3 months. It may take you 6 months. It may take you even a year to launch that book. But you do need to build an author platform. So the minute that you have an idea that or inkling or instinct that I need to do a book, then you should contact me because you have to build an author platform, which takes time. An author platform is your all-around brand of how you're going to show up for the audience. Who is it that's going to connect with you? How many people are you going to put, you know, in your, what I call your funnel, and how many people are going to connect with you on social media, on your email? You can even start really talking about what your concept of your book is in various different outlets and writing articles. So it is strategic in terms of how to build a platform. And it doesn't happen like, oh, I have a book, here it is, and then people start to buy. No, they have to know that you were the go-to person, you were the expert, you were the person that really is, then this is part of your journey, this is your life story to really reveal this book. And so they won't know that in a week. It does take a time. When I'm working with clients like, for instance, I was working with Dr. Cindy Trim or Bishop T.D. Jakes or any of the icons and things like that, you know, Creflo Dollar, they contact me 6 months before the book is done. And we start really planning and plotting of how to do their campaign. You know, at the very least 3 months before, and that's the least. 3 months before. Someone that says, I have a book coming out next month, it's like, okay, well, you pretty much should, I hope you already have a platform built for that. So I always tell people, the more you plan and the more time you give yourself, the more success the book will have. And it's so important.
Right.
And it's not about like, oh, the graphics and that sort of thing. I mean, I even tell someone, I say, you have to set up your author page in Amazon. You have to optimize everything across all the boards. And so a lot of authors are working full-time, and they feel like, oh, my God, I can't do all that. So that's why I said give yourself some time. If you've got to optimize everything across the board, including your website and in your email system and your Amazon author page and all your social media banners and all of this, it takes time to write copy and to figure all of that out. So give yourself some time. So that when you are being pitched, everything is there. You've got your press release. You've got your electronic press kit. You have your pitch letters already done, and it's very simple to do because you've done the work ahead of time.
Right, right. Well, I'm glad you broke it down like that because you know we're living in the age of we want everything quick, fast, in a hurry, and faster than that if possible. So I think it's really important that you broke that down, that the elements that you just described are keys to success. You can launch something quickly, but that doesn't mean it's going to you're going to get the benefits and the results that really bring you the popularity and the prosperity along with it, which is what most of us have in mind as far as accomplishing mm-hmm. something with a book. Can you share with us, since the other dynamic part of what you do is mentoring speakers, and this is something I, again, I'm asking because I want people to know what it really takes. What are the best skill sets a person should be asking themselves about if they want to be a great speaker? And how much of it can be taught and trained?
Well, I would say it can be taught and trained, but you just really have to have a gift and a passion for it. But the first thing is, like, if you're going to, someone's going to pay you to speak, what problem are you going to solve? So if it's time management, mm-hmm. if it's really helping people understand how to get over hurts and wounds, what is the main pay you for? So you have to really understand what is the problem that they have and what passion do you have about really solving that problem. A strong desire is using emotional need, you know, making sure that that there is a pressing problem that people will pay you for. And if, think of like the largest problems that people have. They want to always stay inspired. They want to really make sure that they are staying on track. So think about Les Brown or Tony Robbins and that sort of thing. They are solving a problem for their audience because when they leave, those people feel like they're 100 feet off the ground, right? Because it's like, wow, I can do anything. So knowing that, what people are willing to pay for and knowing that problem, but really making sure that you just identify really your audience, who you're going to be talking to, and then lead with what I call a product. And that's the main thing we were talking about, a book. Lead with a product. It shows that your book solves a problem, and, okay, they can read it or they can hear you really speak it in a workshop or a keynote or a seminar. Those are one of the things that you can identify for that niche, those secrets that will solve their problem, and it's in your book. And so a lot of the beginning part of it is research, really doing the market research. Who is in this space? What are the benchmarks? How are you different from them? What is it that you see the market needs? And ask questions of the market. What are they willing, what are their pressing problems and how can you solve them? So in terms of, yeah, I guess you could, you know, learn how to speak better, but really it's not about speaking. It's like people are paying for solutions. So what solutions are you going to bring and share? You can even be almost like a mediocre speaker, but if you're sharing an answer to a problem that they have, they'll pay you money. If someone's a great speaker but they don't solve a problem, people aren't going to keep booking you. That's really the main mm-hmm. thing, that you have to solve a problem. So a book is one thing that will help solve a problem, and you can lead with that. If you're trying to get booked on different stages and things like that, you're an authority because you're an author of a particular book. So I would say that really is a good way to get started. But the other thing, too, is to make sure that you have a way to get visible as well. Making sure that mm-hmm. you're talking to people, whether it's social media or in emails or creating articles, but knowing, you know, joint venturing with people, getting on podcasts, and really getting into the point where you have a tribe. You have people that are really following you, and that's where the platform comes in, where you're really speaking to people and solving problems, you know, getting involved in, and really, you know, there's a new craze of Clubhouse or Facebook groups. But really making sure that you're showing up as an expert. And that's really the main thing, because you want to have people know you as a go-to person. And they want to mm-hmm. take your program. They want to buy your book. They want to book you to speak because they love everything that you're about, because you're providing value, you're providing solutions, you're answering questions that they moving them, getting them unstuck. That's really where you shine. You know, so I always mm-hmm. tell people really lead with that and really decide what kind of speaking model that you want to have. What kind of problems are you going to solve? That's really, really key.
Several thoughts came to me as you were speaking, Pam, and in regard to what my question was. That was a great answer. But here are a couple of other things that came to my mind. And maybe this is really just for my own curiosity with this next question. But I pay attention to speakers, all kinds of speakers, whatever they may, if there's a link that looks interesting to me, I'll listen. And it's not always because I'm interested in the content. It's because I'm interested in the skill set, and I'm interested in how they promote. I'm interested in all those other things. And I've been in some arenas with some people who were promoted as great that were putting people to sleep, which was interesting to me. But they had they had books and websites and all kinds of things that had made them popular and appealing to whomever they had sent mass emails and things to. I found that very interesting, and I find it very interesting too with some of the people that I watch online, that there's way of presenting that just doesn't have a pop, but they're popular. And then the other thing is this whole new wave of videos of people who are presenting themselves as experts and professionals, and I literally scratch my head like, what in the world were they talking about, and why was that supposed to be expert information? And so it's kind of a dilemma, and that's one of the reasons I did ask the question, because I really, you know, the buy-in is there because we have so much access to everything. But I guess I'm one of those who feels like information should be pertinent, relevant, and really helpful, and something that is going to help craft how you think and do things and all of that. That's just my mindset about it. But when I hear some of these people, I know it's just about trying to get out there and be seen and hopefully make some money at it. Because I'm telling you, I saw a couple the other day, and I won't say who they are, but I was scratching my head like, did you just tell people that and they believe it? Oh, my God. You know?
There's a way where people, I call it ego marketing. And ego marketing is that people are marketing just for their own ego. Doesn't matter whether it's true, whether it is going to make money. They want to be seen just for the fact of being seen. And that's why I said one of the first things, if you want to be successful in anything, is begin with a clear, compelling vision for your life and your why. What is your big why? What is your priority? Now, some people's priorities are just like, I want to be seen. I'm going to say anything. I'm going to be as provocative as I can. I'm going to just show, do the what I want to call clever or marketing, just so that I can be seen. But that's not sustaining. That's not sustaining. When you think of the people that have really sustained, it's not because of their slick, clever marketing. It was because of their mission, their why. You hear Les Brown, you know his why he's doing what he's doing. Mm-hmm. You hear Lisa Nichols, you hear her why. You know what? You hear Tony Robbins, you know his why. Willie Jolly, his why. And you hear that story. Mm-hmm. You hear that sincerity. They never did all of this so they can, quote, unquote, be famous. They did it because they really wanted to make a difference and because
right.
they had some really bumps in the road in their life. And the bumps in the road are really, they happen for a reason, for you to really share that information with other people so that you can be their answer. I have a client that says, you know, you may be the answer to someone's prayer. And Nicole Wallace Jones, she says, so you are to be the answer for someone. And the only way you can be the answer is that you went through some things that really were problematic for you. You solved them, and now you're sharing. So marketing is about sharing. It's not about your ego. You know, I get so tired of it, too. I mean, it's like you shake your head like, oh, my goodness. But because people have access to Canva, or they have access to Photoshop, or they have access to, you know, video editing tools, and it's fake. It's so fake.
Right.
And it's not going to sustain. It won't sustain. It may be for a minute cause a blip, and it may for a minute give them that ego boost. I call it that dopamine. But eventually, look for them in 6 months and see where they are. They can switch to something else. And then 6 months, they can switch
that
to something else.
A lot too.
6 months, they can switch to something else. It's like, okay, you know, really, this is not your mission. This was something that you thought was cool to do because it satisfied your ego. And I always just say, I always ask people, two authors, when they say they have an idea for a book, I said, is it really because you have a story you want to share, or do you want to really have your face on the book and on the spine? And they said, well, I really want to, you know, help. I said, well, you can really reach more people if you get in a magazine and have a story written about you. You won't have your face on the book or your name on the spine. Which would you rather want to do? And it really is almost like that silent question, like, okay, are we going to split this baby in half? And then the real mother will say, you know what? That's okay. Keep the baby whole. I really prefer to have my baby alive and raised by someone else than for you to just split my baby in half. And so when I hear that, when they say, well, I just really want to tell the story, I really, okay, then I could do a blog. I could just make this one story. I could share it to a major newspaper or daily magazine or, you know, that sort of thing. Or if they say they want to have a book, it's because it's ego-driven. And I know at that point, it's not really, it's not going to last. I really can tell. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the authors and speakers that I work with, I kind of take them through that test in a way to see what their why is. And whether it's ego-driven or if it's really just something that is a mission-driven, which is different. It's heart. It's heart versus head.
Well, I'll tell you what, all the information that you shared today has certainly been very valuable. And as I said earlier when I opened the show, definitely ear-opening for those who do aspire to do something in this industry. And it's a fabulous and fun industry. Both the speaking and the publishing are just wonderful places to land if you have that passion. And I really believe that guidance, professional guidance, is absolutely necessary. So we have to tell people all the ways that they can see you and all the ways that they can get hold of you. I don't know that you mentioned beforehand, but if you would now, the areas of opportunities where they can connect with you. You mentioned ministry marketing, which you didn't talk about the magazine very much and all of that, but why don't you do that for me right now?
Yeah, so one of the main things that I always want to do is make things easy for people and put everything in one place. So I do have a magazine, Speakers Magazine. I have Ready, Set, Go, which is a membership community. I do the podcast, which is Get Out There and Get Known, which is on LinkedIn Live. So I put everything under PamPerryPR.com. And that way they can find everything. They can find the blogs, they can find the podcast, they can find the membership program and the magazine. But it all has to do with helping authors and speakers to really shine online and off. So they go to PamPerryPR.com and they can find everything. And it's really easy there. And they can follow me on Twitter and Instagram and all that. But my favorite place to hang out is really LinkedIn. I probably respond to LinkedIn more so than any of them. Besides email, LinkedIn is probably my next favorite.
Okay. Well, I've got that link on my radio website where we are recording today, where we are live today. So, again, everybody, that's Pam Perry. Pam Perry PR. Is it PamPerry.com or Pam?
PamPerryPR.com.
Okay, excellent, excellent. I want to thank you so much for being my special guest today. This was really, really awesome. I mean, power.
Thank you,
Silver
Ray. This is so good.
In such a short time. Yeah, it definitely is. And I hope to connect with you again before too long because I know there's some exciting things ahead. So.
Yeah, well, you stay sharp and stay well.
You do the same, sister friend. I appreciate you so much. Enjoy your day.
All righty. God bless.
You too. And I want to thank all of you for hanging out with me today. Wasn't that something? Those of you who are aspiring to get into media, publishing, or speaking, there's information that was shared today that I know will definitely get you on the right path, on the right track to success. That was a wonderful interview. And if you don't remember the link, it's PamPerryPR.com, PamPerryPR.com. So go there. The link, again, is on the radio information website. Or you can just Google Pam Perry. She's got it like that, and you'll be able to find out quickly all that she is up to. I wish you success with that as well. So in the meantime, I hope you have a great day. I hope you will tune in next week. A few weeks ago, I talked with a renowned pharmacist regarding COVID-19, and I'm having her back for an update, as I said I would, after the vaccine was available to everybody, to get her inside info and thoughts on all of that to date. So I hope you'll tune in next Monday too at 12:30. Be sure you share my shows too and let people know
that, as I said, here at Toxology, everybody has a front seat. I'm interested in you, and I'm trying to provide information that I know can be helpful, empowering, enlightening, educational, exciting for your life. So join me here again next week at 12:30 on Monday, and I'll look forward to talking to you more then. Until then, be good, be blessed, be awesome, and stay safe.